Thank you very much, Mark, and good evening, everybody. And it's wonderful to be able to look at this chapter together from Ruth chapter 2. I want to begin by telling you about my first visit to Ghana, which was in 2014, and made the journey out there. It was a long journey. And when I arrived at the airport in Accra, my luggage hadn't come with me. And then, as is often the case, you come to a country like that, the heat just hits you. And then no sleep either for a long time. And then on the journey, when we finally got away from the airport, but of course without luggage, then we broke down before we got to our destination at 25 to 1 in the morning. And I just felt so disorientated and asking myself, what on earth am I doing here? Well, I'm sure Ruth felt something similar as she arrived in Bethlehem with Naomi, a foreigner, hungry, and sad. Remember the bereavement of her father-in-law and her own husband, her sister-in-law having gone back, and would just be asking, what am I doing here? And she was with Naomi, and Naomi was hardly a bundle of laughs. Naomi, when people welcomed her back, said, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. And yes, it's harvest time. And yes, Naomi left in days of famine and now returns at harvest. Maybe there is some hope. Well, as we read Ruth chapter 2, what we discover is a remarkable change around, and then a generous man, and finally a kind God. So that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. So first of all, a remarkable change around. Now, the book of Ruth, if you've ever looked at how it's set out, is set out like a play. And there are four acts, and each which go over the chapters, and each act has three scenes. And so here we are in Act 2 of this story, set now in Bethlehem. And the three scenes that we have in this particular chapter, one and three are both set at home with Ruth and Naomi, and scene two is in the field. And what happens is when you compare Ruth and Naomi's situations in scene one at the beginning of the chapter and scene three at the end of the chapter, you see that there's been a remarkable change around that has taken place. So let's just draw the contrast. So in scene one, they're hungry. They don't have any food. They're unmarried. Ruth is an outcast. She's a foreigner. And just if you're not sure about that, just look at how many times she's labeled as Ruth the Moabite from Moab. It's like she's being given a label all the time. They have no money. There's nothing. And we are told right at the beginning of the chapter to take note of this man called Boaz. And all that Ruth can do is go and look for scraps of food in the fields. There was a provision in the law in those days where the harvesters would leave the very edges of the field rather than harvesting right up to maximum. They would leave the bits around the edges for the poor to go and to glean and to be able to take what was needed. The equivalent in our society are beggars looking for food, searching through people's bins. When you think of people who've come from other countries to find asylum here, and often come, they may have had wealth before, but they come with nothing and they have to just live on vouchers, which are very limited and hardly have anything. It's degrading and it's humiliating and it's disorientating. This is the situation then at the beginning of the chapter. Naomi is in grief. And Ruth is a foreigner, out of place. But then when we compare that to scene three, the end of the chapter, we have a totally different situation. Ruth comes back at the end of the day with an ephah of grain. Now, if I just step to one side, hopefully you can see here my bags of grain. And these are genuine. I wasn't going to open them up and show you, but each one of these, this has got wheat inside it. Each one of these is about 4 kilograms. So an effa then was at least 3 of these. And I say you're starting to get the picture of just how much she carried back from the field that day with all this weight. It's equivalent of 2 weeks' wages. So from nothing to a great abundance. Well, I'm just going to put these back down here. Or I drop them and spill them all over my living room. And not only that, but she's also got the leftover lunch and a job and a welcome. And so what a huge change that has taken place. And as Naomi sees, she took note. Whose field were you in? And it's not just for today. It's that she's got the welcome to go back. And so there's a remarkable change that takes place in this chapter from scraps around the edges and all just being like a beggar getting what you can to full bags of grain, from begging to made welcome. What a remarkable change. Well, what brought this about? That's the question that Naomi asks at the end of the chapter in verse 19. She says, where did you work today? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. And Ruth explains that it was Boaz. The name of the place, the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. And that leads us then to our second thing, is a generous man, Boaz. We're told right at the beginning of the chapter to look out for him. As readers, there's this opening statement which says Boaz was a relative. And when Naomi hears the story of how Ruth has been treated, she says this in verse 20, "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." So scene 2 is set in the field. The field where Ruth is out gleaning, picking up the leftovers around the edge. And as she begins to do this, suddenly you have one of those, as you're reading the story, one of those would you believe it moments, because she's found herself to be in the field of Boaz. And he just so happens to be from the clan of Elimelech. He is related to Naomi's husband. He's family. And then another just so it happens moment, because who should turn up but Boaz? And he notices Ruth. And he says to the overseer, who is that young woman? Who does she belong to? And the overseer explains, she's the Moabite who came from Moab with Naomi, emphasizing that she's a foreigner, an outsider, a Moabite from Moab. But from this moment on, Boaz is full of generosity towards Ruth. Let's just note some of the things that he provides as you go through the chapter. He provides protection. You can imagine going to out in the fields, a foreigner and a woman. Anything could happen. But he says, my daughter, listen to me. Verse 8, don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. Now she's safe. She's been offered protection. And then she's offered water. Imagine harvesting in the sunshine in Bethlehem. It would be exhausting, and it would certainly stir up a thirst for you. And yet she's told she doesn't need to worry. Whenever you're thirsty, go and drink from the water jars the men have filled. Go and help yourself whenever you need a drink. And then there's understanding. Verse 10, at this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the day of your husband, death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. Ruth can't understand why he's being so kind, particularly when she's a foreigner. Now, when we start to put the links together, maybe the reason is that this was something that Boaz had to face himself too, because we're told in Matthew chapter 1, where we're given the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, his family tree, we're told this, Matthew 1:5, Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And so Boaz's mother, as we understand it, maybe grandmother, but certainly not many generations back, was Rahab, who again was another outsider who was welcomed in. And so Boaz, as it were, has that in his family line, very near to him. And perhaps that's why that gave him a concern to look out for others too. And then lunch. We're told in verse 14. At the mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread and dip in the wine vinegar. It was an all-you-could-eat buffet at lunchtime. And she was able to take home the leftovers of the lunch she didn't eat. You know, often when you go for an all-you-can-eat buffet here, you can only take what you can eat there at the place, isn't it? But there, he told, just take it, take whatever you want. You see, what generosity, verse 15 goes on. Boaz gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her to pick up the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her. He's making life extra easy. So much so, by the end of the day, she's got the whole effort to take home. What a day that was. Actually, not so much what a day, but what a man. What a generous, kind man. Boaz has such a heart full of generosity and kindness. He didn't have any obligation to offer her all these things, and yet he did. Here's a great definition of kindness that came across this week. Kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of others. And where it differs from goodness is the activity calculated to advance that happiness. That's a quote from Jerry Bridges. And of course, we're going to pick up kindness and goodness when we look at the fruit of the Spirit next month. Kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of others. And that's what we've seen here in Boaz and his incredible generosity towards Ruth. It's a challenge to us, though, isn't it? Do you have a heart like Boaz? Are you looking out to make welcome new people? New people that started coming to our church. New people who've arrived in our town. Do you have a heart like Boaz? To show them generosity and kindness? And particularly at this time, isn't it, where we've all been locked up and it's natural we want to see our family and our friends. But what about the people that God has sent us? The people that have arrived in our town and our church over the past few months and hardly know anybody. Are we going to make space to make them welcome too? Are we going to have the same kind of outlook that Boaz had towards Ruth? But this, thirdly, leads us to talk about a kind God. Because as with all of the Bible, this story isn't just teaching us morals. It's not just saying we should be like Boaz. This story is teaching us about God. and about his grace and about the gospel of good news, which is found in the salvation and the wonderful rescue that God has promised to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does this chapter have us to teach us about all of that? Well, it's in this key word, hesed, which means kindness. So back in chapter 1 and verse 8, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." And here then in chapter 2 and verse 20, Naomi says, he, speaking of Boaz, has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. And then we're going to find again in chapter 3 another reference to the kindness. And the kindness that's been shown by Boaz, but it's as it were, Boaz is doing it on behalf of God. Ruth has come to put her trust and refuge in God. And Boaz is a man of standing, related to Naomi, who pledged to look after Ruth and to protect her. And ultimately, he becomes, if we're allowed to sneak ahead to next week's episode, he becomes a redeemer who pays the price to welcome Ruth into his family. And you see, Boaz then is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful kindness that we receive from God in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we too are outsiders. We're without God and without hope. And yet through the kindness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings us in and he makes us a part of his family. And then we find that he does for us, our God does all the things that we see Boaz doing in very practical ways for Ruth. He protects us and he feeds us and he understands us and he is generous towards us. That's the kind of God that we have in heaven. One who's kind. One that keeps us and keeps us for eternal life. One who feeds our souls, one who provides our daily needs, one who understands us, who has lived here in all this world with all its troubles, and one who's incredibly generous towards us, bestowing upon us all sorts of spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to relive the story of Ruth with ourselves as Ruth and Boaz as Jesus. And let the drama of the kindness that Boaz shows Ruth stir us to see how kind God has been towards us in the Lord Jesus Christ, welcoming and providing and being good to us. Christopher Ashe says in his commentary on the book of Ruth, he says, "As I read the chapter aloud, I found my tears rolling down my cheeks. Why? Because Ruth is amazed and filled with wonder at Boaz's generosity to her, an utterly undeserving foreigner." And he goes on, "We too, when we taste the first fruits of Christ's grace, ought to respond with tear-stained astonishment at the wonders of his love towards us, who are without hope and without God." You see, Ruth is proving God is good to those who take refuge in him. And that hasn't changed. God is still good to those who take refuge in him, because he's a kind and generous God. Now, this, of course, isn't the end of the story. This is just the first fruits. There is more to come that we'll discover in the next chapter next week, God willing. But as we leave things here, the end of chapter 2, I want you to take away this. God is kind. But the God of heaven, who made the world and made each one of us, is kind and generous. And any other view of God that doesn't have his generosity and kindness at the forefront, flowing forth from his heart, is a wrong view of God. God is kind. Now I want you to just think all those sacks full of grain that Boaz gave Ruth are just a little symbol of the wonderful generosity and kindness of the way God lavishes blessing upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ, a kind and wonderful God. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this chapter. Thank you for this wonderful story. Thank you for the way that Ruth and Naomi were cared for by this man, Boaz. Give us hearts like his. But Lord, most of all, help us to understand that this is what your heart is like, that you're a kind and generous God, and that you make us welcome who are outsiders, who are undeserving. And yet you pour blessing and blessing upon us, and you welcome us in and make us part of your family through the Lord Jesus Christ. How we bless you, our God, and worship you tonight, that you are kind and good. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.